Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and are you ready for a move on for the middle? That's the label being used by one of the founders of a new political movement being launched here in New York today called No Labels. A group of Democrats, Republicans, and Independents right about now is kicking off what they hope will be a national movement for real progress on the country's problems and against the ideological extremes on both left and right that they believe are holding America back. The founders are Republican media strategist Mark McKinnon, who worked for President Bush, and Nancy Jacobson, a former fundraiser for Bill and Hillary Clinton. And they are holding a six-hour event today at Columbia University to kick off this national political organization. Mayor Bloomberg, as a no-labels kind of guy, is involved in this. So is Florida Senator Charlie Crist, former Republican, now an independent. Connecticut Senator Joe Lieberman, former Democrat, now an independent. But various Democrats and Republicans are also in attendance, and we will speak to a few coming up. Senator Kirsten Gillibrand is there, by the way, though I don't think Chuck Schumer is. L.A. Mayor Antonio Villagrosa is there, David Frum, who coined the term Axis of Evil as a Bush speechwriter, and others. And we have a poll question that you can answer on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. The question is, do you think America would be better off with less partisanship on both sides? You can answer yes, less partisanship on both sides would help us enact practical solutions to the country's problems. Or no, partisanship is the key to progress through organizing and fighting for what is right. And you can call us up right now and answer the question on the air, too. But online, it's freecountry.org. We have our thoroughly unscientific poll for today. Do you think America would be better off with less partisanship on both sides? You can answer the question at itsafreecountry.org. One other thing that I want to tell you is that at noon today, we will have an online chat for those of you interested in No Labels to begin writing a moderates manifesto. That should be an interesting experiment, and it's for you. If you consider yourself a moderate, a centrist, or an independent, I will help facilitate this, and the idea will be to kick around ideas that might be included in a moderates manifesto. So we will do that at noon on our politics website, itsafreecountry.org. You can go and answer the poll question about this at itsafreecountry.org right now. And right now we are joined by Democratic Congressman Bruce Braley from Iowa. He is attending the No Labels Conference. Congressman, thank you so much for spending a few minutes with us. Hello. Welcome to WNYC.
It's great to be on your show, Brian. Thanks for having me.
And do I have this right, this quote from Mark McKinnon, that it's kind of like a moveon.org, but for the political middle?
Well, I think that the most important thing that brought people together here today is people who are tired of partisan bickering that never leads to solutions to complex problems. That's why I'm here. I grew up in a small town in Iowa in a no-labels household. My dad was a Republican and my mom was a Democrat. And when people had a problem in my small town, nobody asked you what party you belonged to. They asked for your help and they got it. And that's why I ran for Congress, was to help people by trying to address these difficult problems and doing it by reaching across the aisle when necessary.
So what does the movement believe in other than compromise? Are there policy positions?
Well, I think that's the genesis of this conference, is to try to talk about things that can be done to get people involved at a grassroots level, to make their feelings known about people who are tired of partisan bickering and want people to work together to get things done. I was very pleased that the person who spoke right before me was my friend Bob Inglis, a conservative Republican from South Carolina, who lost in a primary because he was perceived as not being conservative enough. And Bob was somebody I met in the House gym. I got to know him, and it's Congress will be a worse place because he's gone.
Can, and by the way, we're going to have Congressman Inglis on with us coming up in a little while. Can forceful new ideas come from the center, though? People might think that real change comes from either a Ronald Reagan conservative movement or a Teddy Roosevelt progressive movement, not from people whose main interest is to fight against all the strongest opinions.
Well, I, I disagree with that because I have very strong opinions. I'm a proud Democrat, but my district is a microcosm of what No Labels is all about. It's 40% independent voters and about evenly split between Republicans and Democrats. And that's in large part because in Iowa we have the most nonpartisan reapportionment system in the country. And I think that's one of the conversations that we should be having as a result of this conference is how you make it so people aren't always in such safe seats that they don't have to worry about the consequences of their words or their actions, because that makes it more difficult to solve problems.
Now, I understand that you were just reelected as a Democratic congressman from Iowa despite a very stiff challenge from a Republican who had a lot of that unlimited outside so-called independent money, and that you're going to remain chairman of what's called the Populist Caucus in the House. What's the Populist Caucus?
The Populist Caucus was set up to fight for economic principles that will strengthen and expand the middle class. It was originally started by my friend Tom Harkin in the farm crisis of the early 80s. That populist caucus included people like Al Gore and Tom Daschle and Bill Richardson. We revived it because we felt like that the middle class was not having the same type of robust attention given to it and the need to create opportunities for other people to enter the middle class. And that's why we founded the Populist Caucus, to fight for education, to fight for job fairness and trade policies that are going to give people in the middle class a chance to live the American dream.
Populist sounds like a label that would be contrary to what the No Labels movement is about. The Tea Party is an angry populist movement. When we talk about populists in the Democratic Party, they're usually the more ideologically rigid. Is that not true?
Well, it just depends. I mean, I think that the Tea Party has hijacked the concept of populism and used it for a very partisan political philosophy. If you looked at the Populist Caucus in the House of Representatives, you'll see that it had a broad representation from across the ideological caucuses that make up the Democratic Caucus. And that's what we wanted to do, is bring people together from across the country, different regions of the country, and different ideological backgrounds, so that we could try to focus like a laser beam on creating jobs and economic opportunity.
Now, I have to ask you one other thing before you go, because I think one big impediment for this movement is going to be that there are no moderate jokes. I'm sure you know plenty of liberal jokes and conservative jokes that you trade among your colleagues all the time, but do you know any moderate jokes?
You've caught me a little off guard. I didn't come prepared to talk about moderate jokes, but I can guarantee you that if this movement picks up, there will certainly be a lot of opportunities for people to come up with them.
Okay, and we're going to give our listeners some opportunities coming up in the show. Congressman Bruce Braley, Democrat from Iowa at the No Labels Conference, thank you so much for coming on with us.
Thanks again, Brian.
And we stay at the conference right now. And again, we have that thoroughly unscientific poll question you can answer on our politics website. It's a freecountry.org. The question is, do you think America would be better off with less partisanship on both sides? Go to itsafreecountry.org to answer our thoroughly unscientific poll. And WNYC's Ozzie Paber is at the No Labels kickoff, which is at Lerner Hall on the Columbia University campus, by the way. Hi, Ozzie.
Hello.
So set the scene for us, my friend. How many people are there, and what's actually happening at this thing?
There seems to be a few hundred, but I'm sure organizers will have an official number shortly that will make it seem a lot larger. And there are people right now just milling about, chatting, digesting, if you will, the opening speeches. And a lot of those speeches were about the breakdown of modern politics, about how Republicans and Democrats are demonizing each other and stymieing each other and preventing the solutions that they both say they want actually coming to fruition.
Would you say the crowd is demographically or ideologically diverse?
They seem to be demographically diverse. They've done a good job of highlighting young students from across the nation. There is looks like a mix of people here. I've spoken to a couple who said they're from out of town or just heard about it and stopped by. So it seems pretty diverse, but at these kind of events, you really never know until you do a little bit more digging and researching.
By the way, we asked people to start posting an example of moderate humor, because, you know, you could go to Google, Ozzie, and Google liberal humor, and you'll get a whole list of pages of liberal jokes a mile long. Conservative humor, same thing. But if you Google moderate humor, you know what you get?
I can only imagine.
You don't get very much. You get titles like does humor moderate the effects of experimentally induced stress? That was the first thing that came up.
I'm sure once people hear the Akon song that's going to be performed later today, that's an anthem for the No Labels movement, I'm sure that'll inspire a few jokes in and of itself.
Akon is playing. Is there a reason for that particular band?
He's a solo artist, and I'm still sort of scratching my head about it. I think the last time I heard about him, he was in some type of controversy due to one of his performances overseas. But it's sort of an attention-grabbing thing that the entire conference, the entire No Labels movement so far, the thing that is striking me is that it's the kind of ground-laying and fundamental work for a national movement that was absent from Michael Bloomberg's quasi pseudo-presidential run in 2008. Here, instead of one candidate being at the center of all this talk and speculation, you have the quote-unquote man on the street and the frustrated advocates who are really at the focus of this thing. So if you can throw in a celebrity to perform a song that's a little bit catchy, all the more to it.
Then why not? Who would you say, I'm going to put you on the spot, who would you say is the most liberal person there and conservative person there based on their, you know, previous backgrounds?
I guess those two labels would have to go to David Brooks of the New York Times, the columnist. We put him in the conservative category. And then the mayor of Los Angeles, Antonio Villaraigosa, I'm going to apologize if I mispronounce his name, putting him in. He's a former union organizer, Speaker of the Assembly out in California, now mayor.
Yeah, interesting. Of course, David Brooks isn't the most conservative in the world. I gather David Frum is there, the former Bush speechwriter, though he's been vocally moderating his positions in the last few years. Why is Senator Kirsten Gillibrand there, but not Senator Schumer?
That is one of the storylines that I think a lot of people are going to be following. Gillibrand, remember, she represented a moderate district upstate. So although she was a Democrat, she took great pains to note that she wasn't hostile to the Second Amendment, you know. And she really made herself, she really tried to appeal towards moderate and Republican voters. And one of the things she did to do that was to find nonpartisan issues like transparency. She was one of the first lawmakers to post her schedule online back when she was a congressperson before getting appointed to the Senate. And this seems to be a continuation of her political roots or origins following that trend. Chuck Schumer, as anyone in the media or follows politics knows, is a, you know, he plays politics full combat style. He led the SEC for a couple of cycles. People wanted him to return to it again. And he even spoke out recently against a nonpartisan redistricting plan in New York, saying it would disadvantage Democrats if Republicans didn't do something.
We have to leave it there. WNYC political reporter Ozzie Paber will have more from the No Labels conference coming up. Ryan Lehrer on WNYC. Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and more now on the No Labels kickoff at Columbia University today and the issues that it raises. If you're just joining us, this is independents like Mayor Bloomberg and Joe Lieberman, plus various Democrats and Republicans organizing what they say will be like a MoveOn.org for the middle, a group to raise money and exert influence to get both parties away from their ideological extremes. We have a thoroughly unscientific poll question you can answer on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org. The question is, do you think America would be better off with less partisanship on both sides? You can answer yes or no in our thoroughly unscientific poll at itsafreecountry.org. Also coming up at noon today, we will have an online chat for those of you interested in No Labels to write a moderate's manifesto. And that should be an interesting experiment. It's for you if you consider yourself a moderate a centrist or an independent. I will help facilitate this, and the idea will be to kick around ideas that might be included in a moderate's manifesto other than being moderate. So we'll do that at noon on our politics website. It's afreecountry.org, and we definitely want to give voice here to people who consider yourselves moderates or independents. We realize that talk radio in general is so divided into left and right camps, mostly conservative talk, that one of the things this show always tries to do is invite your voices from left, right, and center and kind of take every serious person seriously. And we're at a time now where people in the middle are trying to make their biggest push to the forefront, probably since Ross Perot's presidential run in 1992. That's what this No Labels movement is. So we'll give those of you who identify with this a lot of room to get on the air if you want to call in right now, 212-433-WNYC, 433-9692. I was joking before that there aren't any moderate jokes. There are plenty of liberal jokes, conservative political jokes. There are no moderate jokes. Somebody has already posted one on our site. I'll read it to you in a little while. We can do that on the online chat as well. I haven't heard Jon Stewart comment on this, but he had his Million Moderates March, as he nicknamed his rally for sanity in October. Remember that? So I haven't heard him on No Labels. But our phones remain open for anyone enthusiastic or skeptical about this movement or with a moderate political joke. 212-433-WNYC, 212-433-9692. And we have a number of guests from the conference who are going to drop in here briefly. With us right now is Congressman Bob Inglis. He's an outgoing Republican from South Carolina. He got defeated by a candidate further to his right in the primary. Congressman Inglis, thank you so much for coming on. Thanks. Welcome to WNYC.
Thanks, Brian. Great to be with you.
Why do you think No Labels is important?
Well, I think what we've got here is an opportunity to find the passion in pulling the best out of both parties. The challenge, of course, I'm no moderate. I'm actually a pretty conservative fellow at 93 American Conservative Union rating, lifetime. But what it is, it's about pulling the best out of both parties and being passionate about that. You know, the reality is Republicans, conservatives, are real good at wealth creation and building meritocracies. That's what we're good at. Democrats are good at fairness and focusing on the need for fair rules of the road. The reality is America needs and wants both of those things. And so rather than this concept of grudging compromise, what we should be about is creative collaboration, trying to pull the best out of both parties. And that's a huge challenge.
So where does that leave you in policy terms at No Labels? Because you have to be for more than splitting the difference or being in the middle. You have to feel strongly about something and take specific policy stands, right?
That's right. Yeah, that you're onto it. That's exactly what the challenge is how do you get the passion? What do you ask people to do at the end of a No Labels gathering? Well, I think what we should be asking them to do is if you're conservative, understand that we're counting on you to help us figure out how to create wealth that's going to throw off revenue to the federal government and make it so we can balance this budget. If you're a liberal, we're counting on you to watch the fairness part of this. And so now go out there and pursue those things passionately, but with respect to the fellow liberal or conservative. In other words, don't vilify them. Don't turn them into enemies. Yeah, maybe a vignette. I was talking to a friend of mine, one of my best friends, actually, in Congress, who's a Democrat. The next morning in the House gym, a Republican said to me, "Don't like you consorting with the enemy." And I said, "The enemy?" I stood there at the sink thinking, and I said, "Oh, Dan?" He said, "Yeah." I said, "Oh, Dan's not the enemy. He's my friend. He's my countryman." Now he's sometimes wrong, but you know that's what we've got to overcome.
Wow, it's really gotten to that point, huh?
Yeah, the sense that you know if you're standing talking to a Democrat at the top of the escalators, you're suspect. And so what we need is people in Congress to say, "Of course he's my friend, and he's my countryman. We got enemies: Al Qaeda, Taliban. Democrats aren't my enemies." They're my countrymen. They're often wrong, you understand, but and I can show them better ways. But I don't need to vilify them.
So we have Congressman Joe Sestak standing by, who of course defeated Arlen Specter, who was the centrist in that race for the Democratic nomination to run for senator in Pennsylvania. Do you think, and you're not going to be on together, but do you think that you, coming from the conservative background that you described, and Joe Sestak coming from the left-of-center background that he's very proud of, can come together at the end of a no-labels conference on anything that you might be able to put your finger on, or put another way, when we do our online chat in about an hour, for people interested in this, and invite them to build a moderates manifesto, is there a particular policy position that you think can be a starting point?
Yeah, I would suggest energy. Transformation of our energy situation is something that is not left, it's not right, it's just forward, in the words of No Labels. And so it takes conservatives to realize, you know, there are negative externalities associated with petroleum and coal. If you attach those to that product, then the market will start working correctly, and we can have free enterprise innovate around this problem that we're in. By the way, if you're on the left, what you get out of it is cleaner air. Well, Republicans should be concerned about that too, but people on the left are generally more concerned about that. So you get cleaner air, you get national security, and you get jobs. So it's a classic case of it's not left, it's not right, it's just forward.
I think I see where you lost your 7 points from the American Conservative Union.
Yeah, exactly. But you know, if you think it all the way through, that's the thing. It's extremely conservative. What I've told people, you know, my dad was into hypermiling before hypermiling was cool. When he taught us all to drive, five kids, he'd say, "Let off the gas at the Tarvers. We're going to coast our driveway. Don't wear out the brake linings. Don't burn up the gas." That's conservative. Somewhere along the way, conservatism became, I got a God-given right to drive my SUV and land somebody else's kids on the sands of the Middle East to fight for that oil for me. That's not conservative.
Congressman Bob Inglis, Republican from South Carolina. I think the moral of the story, too, is that all problems would get solved if we could only all go to the gym. So.
Yeah.
Thank you for your story and your words. Thank you very, very much.
Great to be with you.
And joining us now is Democratic Congressman Joe Sestak of Pennsylvania, also at the No Labels Conference at Columbia University. Congressman Sestak, welcome back to WNYC. How are you doing today?
It's great to be back, Brian, and thank you. It's great, and a very good event today.
What makes it a good event today so far?
Well, you know, I'll be speaking later this afternoon, but what I like to relate is that I can remember leaving the Pentagon on 9/11 because, as you know, I was in the Navy for 31 years. About 20 minutes later, the plane slammed into that building. The next night, the Chief of Naval Operations told me to set up a Navy's anti-terrorism unit. That first evening, it was all ideas were on the table. We wanted the best of ideas. When I landed on the ground in Afghanistan 2 months later for a short mission, I tell everybody we weren't breeding liberals or conservatives. We were breeding problem solvers in the Navy, practical solutions to things. I was a registered independent all those years. You know, I honestly believe the ability, as you just had the nice discussion with Bob, to reach across the aisle for a principled compromise, but not a compromise principle, is what everyone was asking. Whether I was running against Senator Specter, they weren't looking for political calculation. They were looking for principled compromise. And frankly, I think that's why we did so well in this last election in Pennsylvania, even as I was running against the Republican candidate. So my take on it is, this is what people want, is to see if the Hatfields and the McCoys in Washington, D.C. might somehow have a ferocious debate of ideas, but at the end, come up with a pragmatic solution to our nation's problems.
Am I right that the No Labels organization, now that it's officially formed, is going to act like, and Mark McKinnon, one of the organizers of No Labels, says it's going to be like MoveOn.org for the left. And, I mean, I'm sorry, like MoveOn.org is to the left, this is going to try to be for the center. And that it's not going to endorse any presidential candidates. It's not going to become a political party itself. So it's not going to organize in that way. It won't run any candidates. But what it will do is try to raise money and lobby on behalf of the positions that No Labels thinks is important. Do I have that about right?
I think you do, because, quite frankly, I think No Labels is generally going the way that you talk about. But when I was invited to speak up here, they still are defining the exact outline of their mission, which I think is great, because I think those that are coming here today, as well as others across the nation, those who might be listening, should be pregnant also with helping develop this idea. For example, today, this afternoon, I want to throw something else into the mix. Let me say it's accountability. You know, when I went through all the 67 counties of Pennsylvania, and my voting record in the Democratic Party, if you look at the last 4 years in the National Journal, is smack dab in the center of the Democratic Party. But when I went around, I found that people want to hold someone accountable. They want to make sure that their public servants not only are trying to work together, but they're willing to be accountable for whatever policies happen. Too often they skirt that kind of issue. So I think that's another idea that has to be thrown out, just like the captain of a ship. You know, if it runs aground, he's relieved for cause. But he's willing to do that because he knows that he is a public servant taking care of his sailors and serving this nation. So that's another idea, I believe, that No Labels might kind of wrap into it. This idea that you're not down in Washington, D.C., putting your finger in the air and affecting a compromise, let's say it's on tax policies, after an election. Maybe you're doing it before the election because it's the right thing to do, and you're not worried about electoral prospects. You're more worried about accountability.
You're for this tax compromise?
Say again?
You are for it.
I am for this compromise. I wish we hadn't had to back into it after the election. It's why I voted against adjournment 3 or 4 times, because I felt we should have dealt with it up front. But at the end of the day, it is a backdoor stimulus. It's going to help people, and that's what this is needed to do. And I think this is a compromise that needs to be done.
You know, I was a little surprised to see you on the list of speakers. We've spoken before. You remember when you were running mostly in the primary for U.S. Senate against Arlen Specter. And No Label says that while they won't back a candidate for president, they will back congressional candidates in primaries running against ideologically pure candidates from, you know, either the left in the Democratic primaries or the right in the Republican primaries. And I guess mostly that would make this an anti-Tea Party movement, since the Democrats don't have as much of that primary challenging going on from the left. But that was exactly your role in the primary this year. Arlen Specter was sort of, you know, to many people's view, the ultimate centrist in the Senate, but you were giving him a stiff progressive challenge from the progressive wing of the Democratic Party. So how does that make you – why are you here rather than Arlen Specter?
Well, 2 points. First, my record, as I mentioned, is exactly in the middle of the Democratic Party. If you look at the last 4 years, not the last year and a half when you're just talking about the stimulus bill or the health care bill. Look, everybody in the military has health care. We don't do it because we're progressive or liberal or socialist. We do it because it pays dividends to this nation in a pragmatic way so that we have healthy, productive warriors. So I'm smack dab, actually, in the party. I was running against Senator Specter not because he was a centrist at all, because I kind of felt myself generally there coming from the Navy where I'd been independent and was a pragmatic person. I didn't agree with my party that they were making a political calculation for a 60th vote, where I believe we seized the White House through audacity, not through political calculation. It gets to my point about accountability. People should be down there doing the right thing and working together, not making political deals. So at the end of the health care debate, when you saw for several senators say, you've got my vote only if I get this goodie bag to bring back to my state, I was running against politics triumphing over good policy. And I believe that the people are voting parties in and parties out right now, not just because they aren't working together, because they're not willing to place principle over politics. That's why I ran against Senator Specter. It wasn't the policy's positions as much as I think sometimes the party asks too much when they put political calculation over principle.
All right. Joe Sestak, outgoing Pennsylvania congressman. Thank you very much for joining us.
Thanks, Brian. Have a great New York day.
And with us next is John Avlon, one of the founders of No Labels. You may know him as senior political columnist for The Daily Beast and the author of the book Wing Nuts, How the Lunatic Fringe is Hijacking America. John, welcome back to WNYC. Good morning.
Hey, how are you?
I'm doing great. So I think what people are wondering in our listening audience, first and foremost, is can you come together on any policy positions? We hear a Joe Sestak. We hear a Bob Inglis. We hear a Joe Lieberman and a Michael Bloomberg. Everybody wants, you know, more civility in politics. But how about those strong positions from the center?
Absolutely. No, and I mean, you know, take a step back and look at the political figures you just mentioned, and I think you'll find they agree on probably 80 or 90% of the policy prescriptions. Let's look at just two of the debates we've been having a lot recently in our politics. You know, we had this deficit commission, a lot of argument about the deficit and the debt. And it's a debate that has real implications when it comes to generational responsibility, something we haven't had a lot of in our politics. And there was tough medicines for both Democrats and Republicans, and yet you had some of the commission members who were able to swallow hard, take on the special interest in their own party, and reach across the aisle to say, you know what, this is more important than the special interest in our party. We're going to embrace entitlement reform. We're going to have some revenue increases in order to solve this national problem. And you also had some members of the commission who ultimately decided they couldn't buck their party's special interest. They couldn't be accused of quote-unquote raising taxes if they'd spent most of the last 10 years talking about the deficit. Political leaders right now in the incentive system in Washington is all about demagoguing things like the deficit and never doing anything about it. And doing something about our politics usually requires an American history reaching across the aisle. It requires bipartisan compromise. It requires defining the common ground and then building on it. And that's what we're not seeing in our politics. What everyone here is united about is a concern that hyperpartisanship is hurting our country because it's stopping us from solving the problems we face. And time and time again, we see our country artificially divided on issues rather than focusing on the fact that on a majority of issues in America, Americans are actually closely divided, not deeply divided, but the elites and the activists in our party are at war with each other, and that obscures that fact.
Let's hear from a skeptic. Maria in Morningside Heights, you're on WNYC. Hello, Maria.
Thank you. Yes, I am very skeptical about this movement, mostly because it's being spearheaded by Michael Bloomberg. And I feel like this is really about making it much easier for the business interests to wedge their way into our politics even more than the Supreme Court has recently allowed. And I think it's especially telling that Joel Lieberman is part of it, because it was the Republicans able to cross over in the primary in Connecticut who let him get reelected. And when I first moved to the city, I considered myself a political independent but intentionally registered as a Democrat so I could vote in primary.
Mm-hmm.
And in all those states, early states in the election, presidential election, where there were caucuses, there were a lot of instances of Republicans crossing over and voting. And I just think that it's just going to skew our politics beyond anything, but I do have a solution, which is to allow even more parties to run, but to have, I forget which states they have.
Right, so empower more parties to run. So maybe what we need is more political parties and political diversity that way, John, is what she's suggesting.
And that's a great point. I mean, you know that's one solution that people have advocated in the past. But I want to address 3 points she made. First of all, to correct her on 2 points, and I do appreciate the question. First of all, No Labels is not financially backed by Mayor Bloomberg. We are decidedly not a stalking horse for any kind of independent presidential campaign. Even though I think a lot of folks in the media have wanted to write that question. Hopefully, his no way, no how statement yesterday will quiet some of that. But this is we're thrilled to have Mayor Bloomberg's support, because I think his leadership as mayor in trying to put policy ideas ahead of the consideration of what party they comes from has been effective, and it's a model. It's rediscovering old bit of wisdom that we used to know here in New York. Fiorella LaGuardia saying there's no Republican or Democrat way to sweep the streets. She spoke about Joe Lieberman. I'd remind her that in the case when she lost the Democratic primary to the far left challenge from Ned Lamont, Republicans were not part of that process per se, but Connecticut is one of the 10 states where registered independents like myself outnumbered Democrats or Republicans, and that was able to make the difference in the general election. election, which points to, I think, how our politics have been distorted by the parties being more polarized than ever before, which gets to her third point, why she said she was an independent before she moved to New York, but then she joined the Democrats to participate in the primary. We have too many states and cities, and ours is one of them, where there isn't even a general election anymore. Look at what happened to Adrian Fenty. We talk about playing in a primary. Adrian Fenty, the former mayor of Washington, D.C., was a big advocate of education reform, appointed Michelle Reese Schools Chancellor. He lost his reelection bid despite 64% of his constituents saying the city had gotten better under his watch, because in that case, the teachers union put $1 million in against him in a closed partisan primary. And that was the end of the election. That is a distorting effect. It's the same thing that happened. It's a mirror image of what happened to Mike Castle in Delaware. So that's one of the reasons why we think it's time to stand up and start playing offense, to stop these national activist groups from effectively hijacking our politics. And it's compounded by the rigged system of redistricting and the closed partisan primaries we have in this country. So that's an urgent need for this.
If I take Mayor Bloomberg at his word about not running for president, and we assume President Obama will not get challenged in a primary and that he will be renominated, will a major focus here wind up to be getting a moderate Republican to be the GOP nominee?
No, I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think we're going to be focused on state and local races. We're going to be organizing in the coming year in congressional districts across the country where independents outnumber Democrats or Republicans, trying to hold elected leaders accountable and trying to encourage them to reach across the aisle where possible and to turn around the dynamic we've seen in our politics to date, where folks simply play to the base because of the rigged system of redistricting and closed partisan primaries. We've seen over and over candidates feel that there's no such thing as too extreme. They play for national activist cash by demonizing people who disagree with them. They no longer have a functional incentive to reach across the aisle and forge compromises. And that's one of the dynamics that's really hurting our democracy. That's what we're trying to stand up and push back against. So this is a rebellious message. This is a rebellious effort right now, even though it's based around one of the oldest, most important American ideas, the idea that there's more than unites us than divides us. That is counter to political conventional wisdom today. It is counter to media partisan conventional wisdom, where we've seen the rise of partisan media. So that's why it's time for a pushback, and that's why it's exciting, and people traveled here from all 50 states to say, stop, enough. We're going to be push against this tide and make a difference.
Give me a couple of big things that unite us rather than divide us that people can sink their teeth into.
I mean, frankly, most issues. I mean, let's take all the culture war issues that supposedly divide us as a nation. Let's look at abortion, the most divisive at all. I mean, the movement is not about social issues, but it's worth remembering that over 60% of Americans generally agree that abortion should be safe, legal, and rare. It's not about activist absolutist positions on either side. Let's look at Don't Ask, Don't Tell. Again, this is me speaking, not no labels, because we're just launching today. Mm-hmm. We're going to be doing organically, but over 70% of the American people and 70% of service members are fine with that. Dealing with the deficit and the debt, fiscal responsibility is an idea that unites the vast majority of Americans. They don't want to endlessly put things on a credit card and pass it on to the next generation. But right now in politics, we see people demagogue the debt, but then be afraid to deal with it when it comes time because they know they're going to be attacked by the activists on their side for either trying to deal with entitlement reform or raise taxes. We are much more united than divided as a nation, but our politics is all about exacerbating differences and demonizing people on the other side of the aisle. And it's hurting us as a country, which is why we're standing up and saying, stop, there is a better way. Let's fight for it.
You know, many Democrats today say the problem of ideological rigidity is basically a Republican problem. They'll say on health reform, the Democrats did not go for a single-payer system, rather private insurance with a system of subsidies. Then they compromised away the public option to boot. The Republicans said no to anything and only say market forces will solve health care. Democrats adopted the cap-and-trade approach to carbon reduction, which used to be seen as a centrist market solution as opposed to Al Gore's carbon tax. Then Republicans turned against that and dug in on doubting the science. So many Democrats feel that they've been doing all the compromising and the Republicans have been doing none. What's your take?
I appreciate that point of view, but a couple of things. First of all, just a national reality check. You know, it can be tough from New York to appreciate the fact that only 20% of Americans are self-identified liberal, around 35% are self-identified conservative, the rest identify themselves as being in the center. So you know, there's just a different base of support when it comes to just the sheer cold demographics of the American public and the American voting public that is center-right rather than left. That's the first thing. Second thing, I'd argue that, you know, while you certainly have seen this impulse of rhino hunting in the Republican Party, this attempt at ideological purity purges, kicking out centrist Republicans from the party, increasingly you're beginning to see that conservative populism be answered with a left liberal populism that's doing its own version of dino hunting, primarying candidates who are seen as being too centrist, usually by activist groups and unions, for example, unsuccessful but deeply damaging, the effort to primary primary Senator Blanche Lincoln in Arkansas, which the unions put in over $1 million to try to knock her out of office because they felt she hadn't been liberal enough on issues. You certainly see it over anything with regarding entitlement or taxes. The point, I think, is not that there's a moral equivalence. We're not trying to say that there's a moral equivalence between the extremes, per se. What the point I keep trying to make is that there is a cycle of incitement in our politics. Every action creates an equal and opposite reaction. And we're seeing a time of intolerance and anger and division and polarization in our politics, and it is being echoed and mirrored by individuals on both sides who seem to be on the rise. That is why it is time to step up and stand up and start pushing back, because I don't believe it represents the vast majority of the American people.
John Avlon, one of the organizers of the No Labels Conference taking place and launching at Columbia University, launching a movement today. And just so you know, John, we're going to do an online chat at 12 o'clock.
Great.
Where we invite people to log on and start to build a moderates manifesto. So
I prefer the word centrist, but I'm behind it.
We'll see. What's the difference?
Well, the reason I don't like the word moderate is I think it connotes the mushy middle, which I hate. I think the center is a place, the vital center, the decisive center. This is not about simply splitting the difference and deciding what the middle point is. It's about doing what's right. And if you talk to the vast majority of folks who are in the center or independent in this country, you'll find that they're closer to Republicans on economic issues and closer to Democrats on social issues. So there's a mainstream behind this movement. It is not the mushy middle. I always categorically reject that.
Then you might, before you go, be happy to hear Richard in Soho. We've been asking people to call in or write on our website with moderate jokes, because there are liberal political jokes.
Oh, Brian, really? And you're really stacking the deck like that.
There are conservative political jokes, but there are no moderate jokes. Go search it on Google. They don't exist. But Richard in Soho has one. Richard.
Well, it's not mine, but Congressman Jim Hightower of Texas very famously said, the only thing in the middle of the road is a dead armadillo.
Oh, I love it. Richard, thank you so much for that, because I have a response for that, because I get it all the time. It's General Dwight David Eisenhower who said, the middle of the road is all the usable surface. The extremes of left and right are in the gutters.
That's great. And anyway, Richard, that wasn't a moderate joke. That was an anti-moderate joke. So, John Avlon, thank you for coming on.
Thank you, Brian. Take care.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC, and we will come back to that in a little while as we get ready for our Moderates Manifesto online chat, or the Vital Center, if you prefer. But first, we're going to run down the likely incoming committee chairs in the new Republican Congress. From Ron Paul to Paul Ryan, who's coming in to lead the committees in Congress, in the House, and what are they likely to bring with them? Stay with us.